Bands from all over Iowa have been competing in Iowa Public Radio's 8035 play-in for a spot on the main stage at the 8035 Music Festival. Picture of you on an aeroplane, flying across the good old USA. Time rushes on as our endurance is done, and that's all we got till we're all alone. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'll talk with the members of the three bands that have made the finals: Dylan Sires and Neighbors, the Emperor's Club, and the Unifonics. We'll also find out more about Iowa's music scene and this year's 8035. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. The 8035 Music Festival in Des Moines is coming up on July 5th and 6th, featuring such big names as David Byrne and the Wu-Tang Clan. Bands from all over Iowa and the area have been competing for a chance to play on the main stage at the festival. This hour, I'll talk with members of the three bands that have made the finals of the 8035 play-in with Iowa Public Radio. Dylan Sires and Neighbors will be here, the Emperor's Club, and the Unifonics. To start off the hour, though, is Al Scherz. He is the music director of Iowa Public Radio. Hi, Al.
Good morning, Charity. How you doing?
Great. Give us a little bit of background on the play-in. This is the second year for it, right?
Right. Excuse me. The second year. It's been a great partnership with the Des Moines Music Coalition and 8035. We just felt that the play-in is something. It was something that Iowa Public Radio could partner with them on. And I think the whole process builds excitement for the festival, which is good for everyone. And it's also a great way for us to get some of Iowa's great talent into the studio and in front of Iowa Public Radio listeners. It's a good way for us to open the lines of communication with bands from all over the state. This second time out, we had more than 60 entries in the first round of submissions. We had bands ranging from world music bands, reggae bands, electronica, Americana, alt country. We had singer-songwriters. We had metal bands. It ran the entire spectrum, and it was great. We had a couple of people from my staff and a couple of people from the Des Moines Music Coalition 8035 staff judge those initial entries. We narrowed the field to 8 semifinalists. Those bands all appeared in the Iowa Public Radio studios live. Those were broadcast live, those sets. We also streamed those, and there was a video component to that as well, some online voting from listeners, coupled with the panel that I just mentioned from my staff and the 8035 staff. And we've now narrowed this to 3 finalists. We'll be at Woolies Thursday night in Des Moines.
All right. And when you pick the bands that are going to advance into the semifinals, do you try to pick a wide variety of styles, or is it just who you like the best?
That didn't enter into it at all. I mean, as I said, the bands were voted on by listeners who voted. They ranked the bands on a scale of 1 to 5 in 3 categories: songwriting, performance, and overall presentation. Now, they were able to go back and listen to the set as many times as they wanted to online. They could go back and look at the video component that we posted online and make their judgment from that. So there was the listener voting component, and then there was the panel of judges that we had from my staff and from the 8035 staff. And basically, we combined those votes, so there was no qualitative judgment or, you know, oh, we need one from the alt country, you know, part of the spectrum, or we need a reggae band. It wasn't anything like that at all. It was purely based on those categories that I mentioned. And, you know, it just so happens that this year we wound up with a really nice spectrum, you know, really nice pop rock stuff from Dylan Sires and Neighbors, and a great funk vibe, if you will, from Unifonics, and some great pop rock from Emperor's Club. So it was a real nice blend of styles, and it was there was nothing built into the system or into the process that would ensure that. It's just that's how it worked out.
Well, I asked that because last year you had a lot of variety as well. So that's interesting that it seems to shake out that way.
Yeah, it's great. I think it shows that we had good panelists in place that had a wide range of taste and I think it speaks a lot to our listeners as well. They're not judging things based on I don't like reggae. I'm not giving that band any of my good votes. Instead, it was based on the quality of the performance and the songwriting and the overall presentation.
All right, and the finals, as you mentioned, are coming up June 6th, so Thursday at Woolies in Des Moines. The Dylan Sires and Neighbors will be performing at 7, Emperor's Club at 8, Unifonics at 9 o'clock. And then how do we find out who the winner is?
We'll be announcing the winner on our Studio One show at around 7:30 on June 13th. There will be an online voting period after the show. Fans can vote in person that night at Woolies, and they can also vote online beginning the next day, no later than noon on June 7th. And that online voting period will remain open until June 11th at 5 p.m. And then those votes will be tabulated by Iowa Public Radio's administrative staff, and we'll announce the winner, as I said, on June 13th.
All right. And what's at stake?
Well, the winner gets a slot on the main stage at the 8035 Festival. And that's becoming a very, very important festival, particularly here in the Midwest. It'll be a very, that's a big deal to play the main stage at 8035. So that's what's at stake for the winner. The runners-up, second and third place, will also be playing the festival. They will be at one of the other stages, and those times will be announced.
All right, not a bad consolation prize, though.
No, it's great.
All right, Al Scherz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Al Scherz is the music director of Iowa Public Radio this hour. We're talking about the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in, but now we're going to check in with a couple of the organizers of 8035. Jill Haverkamp is here. She's the owner of On Pitch in Des Moines and the marketing manager for 8035. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here. And Amadeo Rossi is also here. He's program manager for the Des Moines Music Coalition and the organizer of 8035. Hello, Amadeo.
Hi.
And this is the fifth year for 8035?
We'll be going into our sixth
year. Okay. All right. So things have been going well for the last 6 years. Can you give me an idea, Amadeo, back when you started this, it was pretty rare to have a performance or performances of this magnitude in Des Moines, in Iowa, period. How do you think this has changed the Iowa music scene over the last 6 years?
Well, really twofold. Number one, we wanted to challenge the community and show that we could support things that we weren't supporting. So many of the acts, especially the headliners, had never stopped here, even though they'd done quite well in other places. And secondarily, we wanted to show the agents and the industry that this is a place for people to land. I mean, the whole purpose of the festival is to see the music scene grow. It's not about entertainment. It's not about music. Really, the core of it is where this scene can go.
And where do you think the scene can go?
Well, it keeps on moving forward. You know, there's a lot of different moving elements, but we've seen since we started the festival more of these type of acts. If they can find appropriate spaces to play in, they're coming here, so it becomes more difficult to book. We see them selling a lot of tickets, and we see a lot of the local scene trying to work and get out and make something of themselves.
How powerful do you think 8035 is for the local music scene? You have quite a few Iowa bands who are playing.
I see it as we like to reward the acts that are doing the right things to make it. So that is, they're releasing new music. It's their original music. It's also about, what are they doing with their appearance? I mean, is their website up to snuff? Those sorts of things. And are they getting out there and touring? So, we're kind of trying to push the local envelope of what you should do and reward the bands that are doing that. And the play-in is an excellent example of just showcasing the quality of original music.
Well, and I know that the Des Moines Music Coalition was founded long before 8035, and this is sort of the culmination of the work that you've been doing with the coalition. What else does the coalition do throughout the year to cultivate the music scene?
Well, we have two smaller festivals. We don't do everything music. We've kind of specialized in more kind of the broad indie scene and kind of the jam scene. And so if you come to the festival, you can pick a track and you'll be able to find those sorts of acts. Now, we have two smaller festivals, one in the fall, Little Big Fest, and one in the spring, GDP, Gross Domestic Product, that focus on those genres. And then in addition to that, we've had a music university series where we're doing one-off things on how to get on the radio or, you know, how to book a tour or things like that. And we're going to do a music university conference on October 19th at Drake University. And it's going to be a one-day seminar. We're still working on speakers, getting a big keynote. So that music education piece is a part of what we do. You know, we advocate. We work with the city and the state and those sorts of organizations. We're a reference for people. When people have questions on how do I do this gig or what do I do, you know, we help out. You know, and I don't know, Jill might have some other things at the DMMCs. We're trying to promote people. We're evaluating their records. We're providing them a review or a basis. We're pushing stories out there all the time. Every day, music is the story, like today on IPR. We're making progress.
And Jill, do you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, one of the other aspects that we've really tried to push is how can we expose more artists online as well. So we're pretty active on our social media accounts and our website of informing people and giving them the tools to be able to explore all of these bands and get awareness of the shows that are happening at the local venues so they can get out there and really support it outside of events like 8035 and our other festivals and really get out there and be involved in the local music community.
All right, we're going to take a short break here in just a moment. But before we get to that break, name just one act that you're really excited about having at 8035 this year, Jill.
I would say Waves. That's what I was listening to on the way over to the studio today.
And tell me a little bit about Waves.
They are kind of a surf punk music, and so I think it will be a really good act for the summer.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be nice and hot, not cool and rainy like it has been so far. All right, we're going to take a short break. We're talking about 8035 Music Festival coming up on July 5th and 6th in Des Moines. And this hour, we're also talking about Iowa Public Radio's 8035 Play-In. Bands from all over the state have been competing to play on the main stage at 8035. And with me right now, Jill Haverkamp, who is marketing manager for 8035, Amadeo Rossi, organizer of 8035. They're going to stay with us. And also in a few minutes, I'll talk with members of the three finalist bands for the play-in who will be competing to play on that main stage. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. We're talking about 8035 this hour on Talk of Iowa, 8035 Music Festival in Des Moines, now entering its sixth year, coming up on July 5th and 6th. 8035, of course, refers to the intersection of I-80 and I-35, although the music festival isn't actually on the interstates, fortunately. It would be a lot more fun at a park, I think. With me are the organizers of the festival, Amadeo Rossi and Jill Haverkamp. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, I'll talk with members of three bands that have now made the finals of Iowa Public Radio's 8035 Play-In. They are competing to play on the main stage at 8035. And Jill, just before the break, we started talking about some of the acts that are coming up this year at 8035. Tell me about some of the other bands that you're excited about.
Sure. Well, Friday night we have David Byrne and St. Vincent will be headlining. And most people are familiar with David Byrne of the Talking Heads fame. David Byrne and St. Vincent put out an album together. And they actually just, I believe, last week released an EP that you can get for free on their website as well. And so they'll be doing songs from the album that they collaborated on together, as well as David will be doing some Talking Head songs and St. Vincent will be doing some songs from her album. So that'll be headlining on Friday night. And then kicking off on Saturday night, Wu-Tang Clan is going to be performing. And one of the kind of interesting things about that and what's great for Des Moines is that we're one of a very few tour dates that Wu-Tang has planned this summer. They played Coachella earlier this year in the spring. They're playing Bonnaroo next weekend, and then they come to Des Moines for 8035. And then I think they have another date in late August, but that's pretty much the only dates that they have announced this summer. And they're kind of on their 20th anniversary is what they're kind of pushing right now. And you know, I think that's going to be a really great thing for Des Moines to be able to have be a part of their tour.
Now, I'm sure it's hard for you to really measure and take stock of, but do either one of you have an idea of how far away people are coming to Iowa for 8035 from? How much of a draw has this become?
Well, typically, I would say we have about 20% of our ticket sales are from out of Iowa. And you know, we'll see different things come in on the ticket sales reports and, you know, people from California and New York and a lot of people from Colorado. And I think a lot of people are, you know, traveling home to Des Moines. It kind of becomes for people who have moved away, 8035 definitely becomes the time of year when they come back, and it kind of becomes a reunion of sorts at the festival. And as well, we're just bringing in a lot of music fans that are really looking forward to seeing the acts that we've been able to book.
And you mentioned Coachella and Bonnaroo. Do you find that 8035 is starting to get mentioned in music publications along with other festivals like that?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we're getting, you know, more and more good coverage outside of the area for it. We typically will get covered in Spin, and a lot of regional publications as well will highlight how they're kind of surprised that Des Moines has something like 8035, and Minneapolis and Omaha and a lot of different regional communities have been really supportive of what we're doing.
All right. Well, Jill, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Jill Haverkamp is marketing manager for 8035. Amadeo Rossi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amadeo Rossi is the organizer of 8035. He's also program manager for the Des Moines Music Coalition. And now we're going to talk about the three bands that have made the finals of the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in. And let's start with some music from Dylan Sires and Neighbors. Bit of No One, Dylan Sires and Neighbors, and members of the band are with me now. Dylan Sires is here. Hello, Dylan.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hi there. Ross Klemps is also here, percussionist. Hi, Ross.
Hi.
And Graham Howland. Hello, Graham.
Hello, how are you?
And Graham, your focus is bass and vocals. And Dylan, tell me how long the band's been together.
We've been together since spring of 2012 a full band.
And you're based in Waterloo, Cedar Falls?
Waterloo.
Waterloo, all right. And what brought you together?
Well, me and Ross have been playing together since probably since fifth grade. We've been friends and playing music together so our whole adult lives. And back in 2011, I was gigging solo, and I really just got sick of playing by myself. So I asked him if he would play drums. And so we started playing as a two-piece, and Graham, who also I've been playing with for a really long time, caught one of our shows, and he really liked the songs, and he asked if he could be in the band with us. And because Graham is such a talented everything, he's just great at everything, we're like, heck yeah, jump on with us.
Stop, man, you're too kind.
I know. He can play every instrument.
All right.
And then we just started playing songs, and we've been just churning out songs and for the last couple of months, and we just released a new record, and so, you know.
Well, Graham, I'll let you talk since since Dylan's been flattering you so much. But can you describe your sound for us? What are you guys going for?
Oh, man, I have to get that question. Well, we have a lot of influences in early 60s, Britpop and all the garage pop of the 60s and 70s. But what we're really trying to get into is the Motown sound, I think. We've been kind of taken off with that and just kind of trying to make
lately.
It our... What?
Lately, yeah.
Yeah, lately, yeah,
we're
yeah.
really into that. We're just really into nostalgia.
Yeah.
So how far does the nostalgia go? I mean, it goes into the music. Do you try to work that nostalgia into your act as well?
Yeah, of course. That's why we keep interrupting each other.
That's nostalgia. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
I had no idea that was a Motown thing.
Yeah.
Now I know.
More of a Beatle thing.
So do you write songs together as a group?
Yes, we do. Usually I come up with a song or a melody and a guitar line, and then these guys kind of fill in the canvas with me, you know.
How does that process work?
Sometimes it can be pretty brutal.
Yeah, it can be pretty brutal, and sometimes it can be really quick. You know, inspiration just comes sometimes just really fast, like lightning, and sometimes you got to work really hard at it. And depending on the song, you just have to be able to realize, you know, which is which. Make sure your song's the best it can be every time you write it.
Part of that, I think, comes from that we've all played together for so long that the intuition between the three of us is, you know, it's instinct. We kind of always know what each other are going to, where we're going to go with something or where they want it to end up in the long run.
How much time do you spend together and working out songs and gigging too?
Well, funny thing is we're all best friends too. So we all hang out together. We're not
constantly.
We were always together, which is kind of weird for our girlfriends. They kind of make fun
of us. It drives them crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been performing in this iteration since 2012. What kind of notice have you been getting?
Well, lately, feels like we've been getting a lot of notice with this, the 8035 play-in, which we're really thankful to be a part of. And I just think really in general, the Iowa music scene seems to be taking off right now. There's a lot of great bands in Iowa, and we're just happy to be a part of it. Like just all this momentum that's in Des Moines, in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, and just all throughout Iowa.
Well, and I guess those of us not necessarily engaged in the music scene, when we think about the Iowa music scene, we do tend to focus mostly on Des Moines, but Iowa City gets quite a bit of notice as well. How is the scene in Cedar Falls, Waterloo? Is that growing?
It's vibrant. There's a lot of great bands out of here. There's Twins. They were also in the 8035 playing. Hardy Har, and I mean, we can name off Lover Speed. There's a lot of different styles of music. And everyone that seems that writes around here really tries to do their best to write the best song they possibly can.
Well, let's listen to a little more music from you guys. This one is Catherine, Diane, Michelle.
Just fine.
You mentioned your girlfriends feeling funny about that you're all best friends. Do they feel funny about that one too, or are their names Catherine, Diane, and Michelle?
No, they're not, actually.
I don't think any of them have ever asked about it, actually.
Yeah, they never have.
Interesting. Well, maybe that'll bring something up for you later.
I have an aunt named Diane. Do we know anyone named Catherine?
Catherine the Great. We don't know her, though.
That's true. Yeah.
So tell me what being in the 8035 play-in has meant for you guys.
It means everything to us. I mean,
we still can't believe it, actually.
We feel extremely fortunate and honored that we were selected by the judges, and all the support that we've had from everybody that's involved with it is just incredible.
Yeah. How did you find out about it?
Well, last year we applied for it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we were a little fresh yet as a band, I think, and the CD some of the songs that from Dylan's first CD, which Graham had recorded with him over a period of time, maybe they were a little more of a out of the realm of maybe what the festival was. So it might have seemed like a bit of a jaunt for that sound to make it to a big stage.
And what would it mean to be able to play on the main stage at 8035?
Everything. I don't know how to even explain that. If we got to play on the main stage, I don't know.
Well, we'd get to
we
say that we played with
right
Wu-Tang
on the stage.
Clan.
Wu-Tang and David Byrne. David Byrne, one of my heroes.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much,
thank
Charity.
Thank you, Charity.
I've been talking to Dylan Sires and Neighbors. That's one of the bands that has made the finals of the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in. Dylan Sires on guitar and vocals, Ross Klemps on percussion, and Graham Howland with bass and vocals. And again, the 8035 play-in finals are coming up on June 6th at Woolies in Des Moines, and Dylan Sires and Neighbors will be on at 7 o'clock. It'll also, of course, be broadcast on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One, so you'll be able to hear it on the air if you can't make it to Des Moines. And now let's hear from another band who made the finals, Emperor's Club out of Iowa City. Save Another Weekend by Emperor's Club, and with me are Colin Ritchie and Adam Havlin from Emperor's Club. Hello, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you very much for being here. And you're a group out of Iowa City, but the group is made up of a number of Iowans and then a transplant from California, right, Colin?
Yeah, and me.
Right. What brought you to Iowa?
My wife is studying here at the university, and when I moved here, I thought, what better way than to meet people than to start a band, because I've always been involved in music. And, you know, I loved The Replacements, and I thought, hey, they're from that part of the country. Maybe I can find someone else who, you know, is into that kind of music. And, well, I met Adam Havlin.
Yeah, that was the buzzword that got me. He put in a Craigslist ad, and I answered it.
And The Replacements was the buzzword?
Yeah.
Was that...
Definitely.
And they're from the Twin Cities. So you just lump us all together, though,
yeah,
Colin.
Yeah,
I mean, when you're you grow up in California, you sort of start thinking it's the center of the world. I no longer think that, but, you know.
Well, being a musician and coming to Iowa from California, was that a little bit hard to swallow? Was that a difficult idea to get your head around?
Well, I didn't really know what to expect. But, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. You know, in Los Angeles, music can tend to be sort of a more of a competition sometimes. And when I got here, it was just, you know, an amazing music scene that it's vibrant and everyone sort of helps each other out. And it's kind of a you're all in it together sort of spirit, which was really nice.
And what's your background, Adam?
I was born about 5 miles away from here. Grew up in West Liberty. Came to the university here, and I moved to Madison for about 9 months. But other than that, I've been Iowa City my whole life.
All right. And with the band, I mean, we've already established the Replacements vibe, but what are you guys hoping to do? And besides become rich and famous. But
of course, every band wants to become rich and famous,
right? That's the whole idea, right?
I mean, we're having fun. You know, we're all friends. We all hang out at the mill and we all play shows and make music. And I mean, you know, it's all about just, I think, having a good time and making music that you like and, you know, your friends can get into and stuff. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Colin Ritchie and Adam Havlund from Emperor's Club, a band out of Iowa City, one of the three bands that has made the finals of the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in. And we'll go into the break with another one of their songs. This is Waves Again. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'm talking with members of the three bands that have made the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in finals. They are competing to see who will take the main stage at the 8035 Music Festival coming up in July 5th and 6th in downtown Des Moines. The finals, though, are coming up this week, June 6th at Woolies in Des Moines. You can go live, but you can also actually listen live on the air on Iowa Public Radio Studio 1. I've already talked with Dylan Sires and Neighbors. They'll be performing at 7 o'clock that night. The Emperor's Club is here with me now. They'll be performing at 8 o'clock and the Unifonics at 9 o'clock. And I will chat with a member of the Unifonics in just a moment. With me right now are two members of the Emperor's Club, Colin Ritchie and Adam Havlund. And what's the songwriting process like for you guys? Colin, you're a songwriter, and Adam, you work on that as well, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
How many other members of the band collaborate in that way?
It's pretty much just Colin and I as far as the shells and the outlines of the songs. We have a pretty good idea, but we usually work independent of one another. A song like Waves Again, the one that we just went into the break with, actually Colin wrote the music for, and I wound up writing the lyrics for. But usually we just come to practice with, like, here's an idea. Like, we can try to rearrange it if you want to, but it's pretty much already done by the time it hits practice.
And so how does the process work for the two of you? The first song we heard, Save Another Weekend, was also a song that you wrote, Colin, and you wrote the lyrics to, Adam. Is that getting to, or am I wrong?
Yeah, I wrote Save Another Weekend.
Okay.
I wrote both parts.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, a lot of times it comes down to, you know, Adam and I will make demos of songs or ideas and, you know, send them back and forth via email or, you know, get together and jam and sort of work on them together.
Hide it from the rest of the band and then drop a bomb on them in practice.
Yeah, and then we'll learn our ideas as a band and maybe, you know, work on sort of the production and the different parts and stuff all together. But the main ideas come from Adam and I. And some songs, you know, just about the process, some come quick, you know, like rock songs, but we have some more like kind of ethereal songs. And like a lot of times maybe they'll start out as like, for example, we have a song called Bend With You, and it kind of started out as like just a loop. I looped the first few measures of the Beach Boys' Feel Flows, and so I'll write the song over that, and then at the end take out the loop. So there's no sample or anything in the song, but I kind of wrote a new chord progression and lyrics and a whole song around just like a little loop, and you know, whatever you can use to kind of inspire you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. So tell me what being in the 8035 play-in has done for you guys so far.
Well, it's gotten us a lot of attention, both locally here. We're constantly being congratulated.
And asked to play shows.
Asked to play shows. And, you know, thousands of people on the internet that probably, or, you know, I guess I shouldn't say probably, but maybe wouldn't have heard about us otherwise.
Yeah.
We get that kind of exposure. And
So you've gotten a lot busier?
Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know if it's just where Iowa City is situated, but we're constantly getting asked from, you know, Chicago bands that want to get out of Chicago, you know, to set up a show with them, or, you know, from the Twin Cities, or, you know, just regional bands want to stop in Iowa City. And rightly so. It's a great music scene.
Well, that's exciting. And so you, Colin, obviously you're an import, but you're part of the Iowa music scene. What makes Iowa a good place to make music, Adam?
I think Colin kind of dropped hints about it already, but I think it's just the supportive community. There seems to be a non-competitive kind of, even though this is technically a competition, it seems like everybody is just kind of helping each other out. I play in a different band, and we wound up talking to the guys from Twins, and, you know, right before the show, we were like, oh, man, it was the day before they made the announcement. It was like, oh, man, we really hope that each other make it in, and there's just that sense of community that goes along with it.
Well, and with the three finalists, as I was talking to Al Scherz earlier, I mean, one of you gets to play the main stage at 8035, which is obviously huge, but the other two bands still get to play 8035. So does it kind of feel like you've already won?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, even just being selected as a finalist, one of the first eight bands is great, because, you know, you get a nice video, and you get to play live on Iowa Public Radio. So we're all winners.
that's a beautiful, beautiful moment. I feel like there should be tears and fanning of eyelashes here. But, well, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
Emperor's Club members Colin Ritchie and Adam Havlin, of course, they are finalists in the 8035 Iowa Public Radio play-in. And now we're going to hear from the final finalists, the Euphonics. By the Euphonics, and with me now is Forrest Heusenfeld. Hello, Forrest.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today. And that's a very, very different sound than what we've been hearing. Tell me a little bit about your influences, where all of these sounds came from and how they came together.
Well, a lot of it has to do with how we formed as a band. Three of us, myself, I played drums, and our saxophonist, Ben Pierce, and our guitarist, Craig Heidgerken, came up in the Kirkwood jazz ensembles in Cedar Rapids. And so we come from more of a jazz background. And when we moved to Iowa City, we met up with Ryan Castile, the bass player, and Derek Thorne, the MC. And they were in the jam scene at the time. We all met up at a jam session at the Iowa City Yacht Club. And so all of us just kind of combined our influences and our interests and formed the Euphonics.
All right, and I'm sorry, I misidentified that song. That was Keep Moving.
Correct,
right?
Yeah, and that was
sorry
one of the
that.
First songs that we ever wrote.
No. So. All right, and you guys have been together a while, but since 2007?
Yeah, we formed in May of 2007, and basically at the second rehearsal, we booked a show, which was the Battle of the Bands to play Camp Euphoria 2007, which we won. But we had to write an hour's worth of material in about 2 weeks. And
wow.
So that was one of the songs. So we basically just started jamming, and Derek put down flows on top of it, and I did a little bit of rapping too, and it turned out all right. And so most of the songs on our Crawl album were just kind of written spur of the moment type thing.
So where did the rapping fit in with your jazz background? Is that something you just worked on your own?
Well, there's a lot of improvisation in jazz, and the same thing is true of emceeing. There's a lot of freestyle and wordplay, and it's the same thing when you're playing an instrument, except for you're using scales or rhythms or whatever. So there's a lot in common. So it is really compatible, in my opinion.
So I definitely hear the jazz influence. I hear some funk influence in there as well. Who are some of your inspirations?
It's all over the map. If you ask our guitarist, Craig, he would probably say Jimmy Smith, Pat Metheny, a lot of more jazz guys. If you asked our MC, Derek, he would probably say Wu-Tang Clan and a lot of the East Coast rap stuff. Ryan would probably say Bootsy Collins, P-Funk, all the Funkadelic stuff. And I'm kind of all of the above, I guess. I'm a big fan of the Roots, and yeah.
You talked about how quickly you put together that music in the beginning. Is that something that you have continued? Have you tried to keep light on your toes with putting stuff together quickly before a show?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Our new album, which we're recording in July, is a lot better thought out, I would say, than most of the stuff on the first album, just because we've had the luxury of time to think about it. And we didn't have to write it all in 2 weeks and just perform it instantly. And we've also added a soul singer, Nassor Cooper, who's from Cedar Rapids and still lives in Cedar Rapids, and that guy is phenomenal. And so most of our new stuff now has singing, rapping, saxophone solos. It's got all the above, whereas before it was more just rapping and some solos here and there. We've got a strong singer now, too.
Well, with the way you started with needing all of that material so quickly, how does that influence your process? How does that change how you write when you have the time or when you have a firm deadline like that?
Sometimes it actually works in our benefit to just have to come up with it off the tops of our heads, and you can come up with some really good stuff. Personally, I prefer things being well thought out. But we're able to function under both circumstances. And sometimes if we have to play a four-hour show, which happens frequently,
A four-hour show?
Yeah, yeah. we have to kind of rely on our improvisational abilities that we nurtured early on.
Now, why most bands don't play four-hour shows? Why would you play a four-hour show?
I guess the simple answer is because we have to feed ourselves. And if you're booking a night and it's three bands in a row or whatever, you have to divide everything by three and then divide everything between the band members. Whereas if it's just one band doing the whole night and it's a situation where you have a guarantee amount that you're getting from the club, then all you have to do is divide it among the band members. So it's pretty much economic reasons.
All right. And you've been playing mostly in Iowa and Illinois?
Yeah, we've actually been, as far as San Antonio. We've played, I think, in 15 or 16 different states. But about 2 years ago, we looked at a map, drew a two-hour radius around Iowa City, and we basically consider that to be our metropolitan area. Try and hit every major scene at least three times a year and kind of downsized a little bit. But that being said, we've got festivals coming up this summer in Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa. And we kind of expand whenever a good opportunity arises.
How many members do you have in the band?
We have six right now.
So that's a bigger deal to travel with six people than some of the smaller bands.
Yeah, it is a bigger deal for sure.
All right, let's listen to another one of your tracks. This one's called Jump High.
Rise to the occasion. Every brother starving everywhere, Caucasian to Asian. You must put it on the line every day. It's a risk. Some do it for the money, and others for their kids. At any rate, all competition is real. And when most fall off, they rob, steal, and kill. And it's a long shot. You gotta keep your faith. Keep it real with yourself. Have selective taste. Where you at right now? Ain't where you wanna be. Build a foundation. Maybe the world will see that you put time and effort into being MC. To unlock prosperity, use your mind as a key. Your heart tells you right from wrong through the trials you live. If you wanna receive, first you gotta give. Be the truth to yourself, you can't lie. And if you want it all, you gon' have to jump high. And life has got you exhausted, exhausted, but you can't give up, no. And life has got you exhausted, exhausted, but you can't give up, no. And life has got you exhausted, exhausted, but you can't give up, no.
All right, that's a little bit of Jump High from the Unifonics. With me, Forrest Heusenfeld, who is one of the members of the Unifonics. And I hear you have a funny story about that one, Jump High performing that in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Well, unbeknownst to us, we were playing the Elbow Room in Chicago, and during that song and some of the rest of the songs, a friend of ours named Chad Stumm was videotaping us, and we just kind of thought he was messing around or whatever, but it turns out he was making a really high quality music video, and he does a lot of the commercials for the iPhone and for I can't remember the name of company that makes tools based out of Chicago, but anyway, so we ended up getting a really good video for that, which is available on YouTube if you just type in the Unifonics. And after the show, he took us down to, he was like, you guys want to come to a wine party? And we were like, yeah, whatever. We don't have anything going on. We're in Chicago. Let's do something fun. And we showed up, and everybody's in suits and ties, and the mayor's there, and the governor of Illinois is there. And we're a bunch of scuzzy dudes that just got out of the van. We'd been in the van for 4 or 5 days, and we're all kind of smelling kind of funky, and everybody in the place is looking at us and asking us what we're doing there. And we would just kind of point over to Chad, and they'd be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And even when we would go outside, some of the guys would go outside and take a smoke break or whatever and then come back in, and then they'd be like hassling us for $100 entry fee or whatever, and we're just kind of point over at Chad, and he's he was the man, so he really hooked us up.
So you guys are pretty established. I mean, you've been around a while. How does doing the 8035 play-in change things for you?
It's definitely very, very helpful with building momentum, as well as with booking out of town, because we can tell people in Twin Cities and in Chicago and St. Louis and pretty much any touring band, we can tell them that we're in this competition. We already were chosen over 60 bands out of 60 bands. And so it's extremely helpful, and it's also an honor to be chosen, because some of those, the 8 finalists, like it was pretty much a toss-up in my opinion, because they're all great musicians and completely different kinds of music too.
All right. Well, Forrest, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Forrest Heusenkamp, or sorry, me.
Heusenfeld.
Thank you.
I'm not even quite sure if that's how you pronounce it, to be honest with you.
I think that's the worst mispronunciation I've done in a while. Forrest, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, Forrest, I'll just let you say it again.
Heusenfeld.
Of the Unifonics. They're one of the 3 finalists for the Iowa Public Radio 8035 play-in. They'll be playing in the finals on June 6th at Woolies in Des Moines. You can also hear the finals live on Iowa Public Radio's Studio One. Dylan Sires and Neighbors will be playing at 7, Emperor's Club at 8, and the Unifonics at 9 o'clock. And of course, the winning band gets to play on the main stage at 8035. Talk of Iowa is produced by Emily Woodbury, Dennis Reese, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support from John Pemble and Tony Daner. You can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about farmers markets. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. If I broke into a fraction, you're slacking, and I doubt that you can hack it. I cover my trails, and I pretend like Bubba Lack, and your head's pounding. Similar to my sound, and it's going through the air, rising up from the ground, and it's getting better. Got your girl getting, she would be mine if I would only. You're choking, temperature rising when we smoking. The score was done, like a ninja, I was scoping you. And after a while, you had to quit. If you messed up, you was bound to get hit with these lyrical nebulous homicidal scandals. MCs get lit, they burn like candles. The scandals are rubber, Unifonics, don't worry. And if you mess up, your name will be my next story. I manifest, you wanna know what I'm focused.